deed of Christ. These were the words of our Lord in Matthew 22:42. It was a question which his hearers could not answer in the way in which he sought the answer. They knew that Christ was to be David's son, but Jesus' question went beyond this, and if they had recognized him, would have drawn forth the answer that he was also the Son of God. It was for this very claim that he was charged with blasphemy against the Father whom he loved and condemned to death a few days later. But the question comes to us, and take it out of context, what think ye of Christ? There were various opinions of the Master in his own day. John the Baptist had announced him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, calling attention at the same time to the fact that Jesus was the antitypical Passover, through whose blood we find covering for our sins, and to the humility, docility, the lamb-like qualities of the Redeemer. Andrew had introduced him to his brother Simon, afterwards known as Peter, by saying, "We have found the Messiah." And Philip told Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." But when Nathanael, in whom was no guile, heard that he was from Nazareth, his question was, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And then when Jesus greeted him with the words, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile," he sensed flattery, and his suspicions and doubts deepened, until he found that Jesus really did know him in a way that Nathanael knew not of. And then he said, "Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Yes, in Nathanael was no guile. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, recognized him also as the Messiah. And others of his day, particularly the common people, heard him gladly. But also among the rulers was one, Nicodemus by name, who came to him by night, saying, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles which thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus could not understand spiritual things, but at least he could discern that much. To the woman at the well, Samaritan, looked down upon by the Lord's chosen people, Jesus revealed himself as the Messiah. And although she was inclined to take him literally about the water of life, when he told her of her past life, she went down into the city and told the men of the city, "Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" She could see. She could believe. Among the ones who hung upon Jesus' words, some asked the question, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man, than these which this man doeth?" Word of this came to some who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. And they said that he was getting out of hand among themselves. They thought something must be done about it. So they sent officers to arrest Jesus. They were probably the temple guard loaned to the religious leaders of the people by Caesar's government. And of course, they were not in any hurry to do the bidding of the tributary nation. They lingered and listened. It was written of Jesus that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And so, they didn't hear him enunciating the traditions of men. He wasn't telling them that if they swore by the temple, that's all right. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, oh, you're under obligations. And he didn't say if you swear by the altar, you're not responsible. But if you swear by the gift that is upon the altar, they can hold you to it. He didn't tell them about the tithe of the mint and the anise and the cumin, and how they should strain out those unclean beasts that might get into their wine, which we call gnats. Oh, it's all right if you swallow a camel now and then. No, Jesus didn't teach them like that. He didn't say, utter the word carbon, it is a gift. And then no longer would they be under obligation to honor their father and their mother by doing for their aged parents. Because whatever you'd profit from me is given to the Lord. Oh, that didn't mean they gave the Lord anymore. Simply meant that I'm no longer under any obligation to you. And so, as Jesus said, they made void the law by their traditions. And some of those went so far as to charge him with having Beelzebub, by the prince of demons, casting out the demons. He said to the man lying by the pool of Siloam that had not the strength to rise in time to get into the water at the time when the spring was bubbling and receive its medicinal benefits, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. Oh, it was a Sabbath, and that was a sin. And they didn't know that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And again, he gave sight to a man that was born blind, but that too was on the Sabbath. And they questioned the man. He didn't know who Jesus was. They said, give God the praise. They said, this man is a sinner. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. They told him, we know that God spake to Moses, unto Moses. As for this man, we know not whence he cometh. Why? This is a marvelous thing. You know not whence he cometh, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Since the world began, was it not known that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue. Jesus was almost stoned on one occasion because he said he was the Son of God, and yet they themselves claimed to be children of God. And they didn't recognize him as their brother. It was on this charge that they condemned him to death. He was betrayed by one of his disciples for 30 pieces of silver, who couldn't endure to see Jesus honored by the sister of Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead, because this ointment might have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And of course, he knew how to get it before the poor did. So he betrayed his Lord with a kiss. But Caesar cared nothing, and neither did Pilate, his representative, for the petty ecclesiastical squabbles and differences among the leaders of this tributary nation. So they couldn't accuse him of blasphemy to Pilate. They had to have something else. They had been lying in wait to trip him in his talk, in his speech. They had sent unto him the Herodians with the Pharisees with flattery. "We know that thou art a teacher of truth, neither regardeth the person of men." And Jesus saw through their efforts. "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Tell us, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Show me the tribute money. Whose is this image and inscription? Caesar's. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, but unto God the things which are God's." But they accused him to Pilate. "He stirreth up the people, beginning in Galilee, saying that he's a king, and it is unlawful to pay tribute to Caesar," an out and out lie. And because Pilate was Caesar's friend, though he washed his hands, he delivered him up to be crucified. So, Jesus' followers, the members of his body, have been invited to go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. The antitype of the Lord's good went to where the body of the bullock was burned, bearing his reproach. And Jesus, the 25th chapter of Matthew, speaking to those who will be the sheep of the next age, said, "As ye did it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, ye did it unto me." And to Saul of Tarsus, who asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" the Master said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Oh, Saul hadn't ascended into heaven. And if he had, he couldn't persecute the Master there. He was persecuting the members of Jesus' mystical body. And so this Saul of Tarsus, now known as Paul, suffered persecution among the Jews, among the people of his own country, yes, even among false brethren. Some were preaching Christ of contention, thinking to add affliction to his bonds. And Paul was so rejoiced that Christ should be preached that he was even glad of that. Time went on, and Christians were used as human torches to light up Nero's circus, in which other Christians were being done to death. And later it became popular to be a Christian. And so long as you took the Lord's statement literally, this is my body, you weren't burned at the stake. But there were still some who, out of love, gave their bodies literally to be burned, as well as figuratively going to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And that's what they thought of the body of Christ. And then, later, when the bold and blessed strike for liberty was made, there was one Christian that was roasted at the stake. One remarked, if he'd only said, "Eternal Son of God," instead of "Son of the Eternal God," he might have been spared that. And so the question comes on down to us in our day. What think ye of Christ? What think we of Christ? What think we of the body of Christ, the members of the anointed? As in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, the apostle said of those of whom he was one, "We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life." And so the members of the body of Christ today are sometimes not too popular. Yes, sometimes, I hope none of us do this, there are those who lie in wait to trip them in their speech. Oh, it's proper that we should require, "Thus saith the Lord," for every element of our faith, but I hope we don't also ask, "Who says he says it? How does he say it?" No. Again, the apostle in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, after enunciating that great truth, that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 11th and 12th verses. Admonished Timothy to charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Oh, he wasn't talking about fundamentals of the doctrine of Christ, because he later in the same chapter went on to call attention to some that were introducing the Gnostic heresy, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. There are fundamentals today that were enjoyed in the apostles' day, and there is light that has become due to be understood. I made a comment the other day, spoke of four tests of this harvest. One of them was the cross, that we don't appear before the Lord in our own unrighteousness. By grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It was the gift of God. And again, that we also must take up our cross and follow the Master, to pass on the merit imputed to us at our death for the justification of the whole world of mankind, that the blessings of restitution may reach Adam and all condemned in him. Yes, salvation isn't something simply to be enjoyed if we would reign with him. It's something that we must enjoy seeing others receive, to the extent that we're willing to die with him, that we may also live with him, to suffer with him in preparation by the development of the character that thus is grown like a plant, at first tender and then fine-grained and strong like the olive tree, to be able to become sympathetic under-priests in the blessing of all the families of the earth. And another one is the presence of Christ. Certainly that is an important part of our faith. Without it, we wouldn't know that we're living the harvest. Without it, we would not be able to engage heartily in the work which Jesus has given us to do at the present time. The chief reaper were not present. It would be presumption on our part to start gathering the wheat this gospel age. And so, those who are indifferent to these things might be likened unto some in Jesus' day who knew not the time of their visitation or who cared little about it. And of them Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And another of the tests of this harvest time is humility. You remember the attitude of those who had sent these soldiers to arrest Jesus. And they came back without him. "Why have you not brought him? Never man speak like this man. Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." That was too much for Nicodemus. He found his tongue. "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Oh, of course, Jonah came from Galilee, and Nahum came from that territory, which was later called Galilee. But forget about it. And so, it takes humility today to be classed among those who have a funny religion, or those who don't express it the way we do. They take their own words and phrases. And so sometimes we find strifes about just where we belong in this particular vision or type or prophecy or dark saying, parable. Now the brother doesn't say it the way we do, no matter if he does teach the same doctrines of creation, fall of man, the great ransom sacrifice which redeemed us from that fall, and our high calling to share in the great sin offering which seals a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and if when that offering is complete, we still say that there will be a restitution of all, including Adam, and the destruction of the incorrigible during the thousand-year reign, which has its gradual beginning with the return of Christ, which is already an accomplished fact. And if we engage in the harvest work, gathering the Lord's saints together unto him, those that made a covenant with him by sacrifice, and still don't use the proper phrases, well, we're just like those Sabbath breakers that went through the field, rubbed out the grain on the Sabbath, and ate it. Jesus' disciples. But what is the Lord's Spirit? The fourth of these tests is the Spirit of love. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, though I go to him without the camp, and have not love, that profiteth me nothing. And so the Lord, as for 4,000 years, approximately, he was gathering those who were stoned and sawn asunder and waterbought in sheepskins and goatskins, of whom the world was not worthy to constitute the earthly phase of the kingdom of God, and since then has been gathering those who will reign with him in the heavenly phase. These tests may be expected to come upon us before we'll be accounted worthy, for it is only if we suffer for righteousness' sake, not as evildoers, that we will be exalted. No, punishment doesn't merit exaltation. It is enduring the reproaches of them that reproached God. You remember Jesus gave a certain test of his messiahship in answer to John's question through his disciples. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He didn't say, yes, I'm the Messiah. He went on about his business of healing and teaching, and then said to John's disciples, go, tell John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so, though we can't heal the sick, raise the dead, the poor still have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in it. No fable old, or mythic lore, or dream of bards and seers. No dead fact stranded on the shore of the oblivious years. But warm, sweet, tender, even yet, a present help is he. And faith hath still its Olivet, and love its Galilee. The healing of his seamless dress is by our beds of pain. We touch him in life's throng and press, and we are whole again. O Lord and Savior of us all, O blessed Christ divine, we own thy sway, we hear thy call, we test our lives by thine. We faintly hear, we dimly see, in various ways we pray, but dim or clear, we own in thee the light, the truth, the way. Our friend, our brother, and our Lord, what may thy service be? Not name, nor form, nor ritual word, but simply following thee. To do thy will is more than praise, as words are less than deeds. And simple trust can find thy ways we miss by charts of creeds. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Loomis. His wonderful thoughts long. What think ye of Christ?